Okay, just one last detail about selling chametz. Generally speaking, there's a Gemara that says two things really don't belong to you, but the Torah makes it yours just to transgress. What are the two things? Rabbi Elazar says this in the Gemara. One is a pit in the public domain. The Torah speaks in Parshas Mishpatim. If somebody digs a pit in the street and an animal or a kalim fall into the shor chamer, so then you have to pay the damages. Okay, the guy that dug the pit has to pay the damages. The question is not his domain, it's a public domain. Why? It's not his house. So it's not yours legally, but the Torah says, yeah, you made it, you have to pay damages. So it's yours just for liability. The same thing the Gemara says, chametz on Pesach doesn't belong to you. Something, chametz on Pesach is what's called osir bahanah. Osir bahanah means you're not allowed to benefit from it. And halacha says, something you're not allowed to, what does ownership mean? Ownership means I could benefit from it. That's the definition of ownership. It's mine to use. Something that the Torah says you're not allowed to benefit from, basically the Torah is saying it's not yours. It's not yours. So chametz, if I own chametz on Pesach, really, the Torah, it's not mine, because it's not mine. It's also about no. But the Torah says, I'm making it yours, that you should be liable to transgressing, owning chametz, seeing your chametz, eating chametz, or whatever is like that. Therefore, when it comes to selling chametz, according to many opinions, even if you didn't write down your name on the document, or you didn't pick up a handkerchief with the rabbi as power of attorney, even if you just, let's say halachically, if you called over the telephone and said, I would like you to sell my chametz for me, that halachically is good enough. Any gilui das, meaning any showing of the mind that you're interested in selling the chametz, is good. It's the famous thing, the Neder Behuda, who was the big tzaddik, he was the Rav of Prague. He had a custom that at a Pesach, by the document, he wrote down all the people from the city. Whether they wanted to, they came to him, they didn't come to him, he wrote down everybody from the city. Why? Like we said, you can do something good for somebody without him knowing about it. Owning chametz is detrimental. Selling their chametz for them is good. So therefore, he would do that. But nevertheless, there's a custom that you write down your name on the document. Many people even have a custom, they pick up a handkerchief with the rabbi just to show that it's a real thing. It's a real power of attorney that you're telling him, making him sell the chametz, asking him to sell the chametz for you. But halachically, even if you didn't do that, it's still a valid, everybody says, still a valid sale, and he stole your power of attorney. But again, it's better to write your name, it's better to do the handkerchief thing, and so on. Yeah, but who knows what you're thinking? So then sometimes, b'di'evet, it's good, but that's not the way. It should be at least verbal, preferably writing, that you're giving power of attorney. And some people even pick up a handkerchief to add to the strength of it. What?
What if you write it twice? Two people write it in.
There's a very interesting question.
Yeah.
No. That's an interesting question. I'm telling you something which is more interesting. Can I sell it to two rabbis?
Two different rabbis.
Yeah. In other words, you're a rabbi, I'm a rabbi. He sells his chametz to you and to me. I mean, not to me. Power of attorney, that you're power of attorney. So they discussed that. That's why, by the way, that even includes your question plus, because if two people write the same name twice, big deal. I mean, so if the name is there twice, who cares? But here the question is, does one act of power of attorney for Rabbi A undo the power of attorney for Rabbi B? And halacha is, no, it doesn't. It's fine. The Paskim write, because years ago, that was the way the rabbis made money. You know, by Mechiras Chametz, everybody would give the rabbi money. So therefore, the reason why they're doing two rabbis is because they wanted to give both rabbis money. But halachically, either one of them could do it.
They don't give money anymore?
They should. Okay, anyway. Next is...
You said something about seeing, and you related to that a few times. Seeing chametz. So,
you can't see chametz that belongs to you.
You can't, that belongs to you.
Right.
But if you're in one of those hotel environments and the bar is open...
Can walk into a supermarket... No, because the Torah says, Lo yiro'e v'lo yimotzei. You're not allowed to see chametz that belongs to you, and you're not allowed to own chametz that belongs to you, even if you don't see it.
So when he asked you the other day about the garage, that's why you talked about a partition.
Correct.
Because it could take him to seeing his chametz that he sold.
But it's not really his chametz. He sold it, but we don't want him to go to it.
Right. So seeing someone else is like
a... It's not a problem. In fact, the Gemara says clearly, the Torah says, Lo yiro'e locho, you can't see your chametz. So the Gemara says clearly, what the Torah is saying is, yours he can't see, but somebody else's you could see. Yeah. Therefore, logically, some people won't do it, by the way. Just don't, they don't want to walk into a geisha supermarket during Pesach and look at, you know, see chametz. But what's interesting, if you walk into a supermarket, a lot of times have bakeries in them, and food. Okay. So you walk in the middle of Pesach, you walk in to buy some vegetables, let's say that you ran out of, or kosher for Pesach stuff, and you walk by the bakery and it smells good, and you go, that's forbidden biblically because you're benefiting from chametz. When the shul first opened on Foothill, over 40 years ago, on the corner, you know, there used to be a big, before they knocked down, they put up all those buildings at Civic Center Drive, there was a big Wonder Bread bakery. Massive building. They used to bake Wonder Bread bread there. And we used to walk out of, and every Shabbos we walked out of shul, it smelled, the whole block surround smelled. So in Pesach was a little of a problem. It was for a year or two until they took it apart. But they would walk out of shul Pesach and it was a really fresh smell of bread. But you couldn't, I mean, you smelled it, but you can't have in mind that you want to actually enjoy it or benefit from it.
But if you paint matzah, it would smell the same.
No,
come on.
Drive under the I-10 over here on Robertson, all night long there's some bakery there.
No, the matzah doesn't take. You walk at the matzah bakery, it's not a bad smell, but it's not.
Matzah factory.
What?
They don't call it a bakery, they call it a
matzah factory. You know, they ask a shaila, you know, you say, Haylach ma'anya, this is bread man's food. So they ask a shaila, the guys that own the matzah bakery, are they allowed to say that? Because by them, they make a lot of money from it. It's not for them, it's not poor man's bread, it's rich man's bread for them. Anyway, okay, that's basically it with selling of the chametz. Let's move on to the next thing we'll talk about, and that is searching for what? Yes, definitely. We said all you need is a general idea that you want to sell chametz. You can sell chametz.
Even if they don't know
about it. Okay. Let's say if you have family members that you know they're not going to, whatever. Either they forgot or they don't know. You're allowed to put down their names. You're allowed to put down names. I mean, as many times you have... You know, the women write down the name on the star rather than the men, whatever. You know, the women, they're coming to classes. So while they're at the classes, they go sign the name on, you know, with something like that. That's not a problem. Kids could do it for a parent. Okay, next. Bedikas chametz is like this. Biblically, in order not to own chametz, all you have to do is nullify the chametz. Say it's free for all. Whoever wants could come and take it, and you wouldn't need to do anything more than that biblically. The Chachamim came around, and they said that because you're accustomed to chametz a whole year, number one. Number two, you might have a very expensive bottle of, let's say, of whiskey, of mashke, and you really say, yeah, I'm nullifying it, it's free for all, but the question, do you really mean it? So therefore, the Chachamim Institute, there's many reasons for Bedikas Chametz. But one of the these are the general reasons of Bedikas Chametz is because a person's accustomed to having chametz in the house all year, like we said the other day. Therefore, there's no din of bedikas treif. You don't have to search your house for no treif, because treif food you don't eat ever. But the chametz that you eat a whole year, so Chum said, the night, Erla Ba'asa, the first Mishnah Psachim, the night of for the 14th, which this year the 14th is Shabbos, but you can't do it Friday night, so we do it a night earlier, Thursday night. Mm-hmm. So you have to search for the chametz all over the place. Now, the din is, you have to do bedikas. Okay, let's first talk about where you have to do bedikas chametz. You could, but if you really meant it, you put it outside in your alley, and you obviously, you in your mind, somebody's going to take it, and then after Pesach, they didn't take it. In fact, the Gemara tells a whole story. I think it was Rav Papa owned a large beer factory in the time of the Gemara. And whatever happened, there was a mix-up with selling the chametz, so he actually took his whole factory stock and put it out and made it hefker for everybody. And the Goyim were very excited. They were part of the, you know, ploy to make it happen. And the Eibishter made a miracle. Like, nobody touched it for the whole Pesach after Pesach. It was still there. He took it back. But again, when you put it out, you have to mean it. I mean, if you don't mean it. Okay, so now, where do you have to do Bedikas Chametz? Bedikas Chametz has to be done in any place that you're going to be using during Pesach and you're not selling to the Goy. There's a very interesting opinion in Halacha. It's the Makor Chayim. It's very interesting. There's a, that Alter Rebbe had a big chassid called Rebbe Nechamya Dubrovna. He wrote a sefer called Divrei Nechamya. He was very close with the Tzemach Tzedek, and he used to argue a lot. They learned together and they argued a lot and so on. So many, if you just think about it like this, Bedikas Chametz is Thursday night. Let's say this here, right? You sell the Chametz Friday morning. Okay? So now the question is, those rooms that I'm selling, do I have to do Bedikas Chametz in that? I'm locking up the garage completely. I'm not going to go into the garage. So, some chassidic holds, you don't have to sell the Chametz. You don't have to do Bedikas Chametz there. Because you're selling it. I mean, that's it. You're not going to go in there during Pesach. If you're not going in to go into Pesach, you sell it. That's it. And other opinions say, no, there's a problem. Because the night of Bedikas Chametz, you have to search anywhere where there's chametz. The sale takes place the next day. But the night of Bedikas Chametz, it's your chametz. And it's a place that you brought chametz into the year. So therefore, a number of bin Makor Chayim, Divrei Nechamya, they hold, even the rooms you sell, you have to do Bedikas Chametz. One sec. Then you have to make a shlich to do Bedikas Chametz. But the pearl, we don't hold. The Tzemach Tzedek disagrees with that, and that's the way we hold. Tzemach Tzedek says, no, that's not true. Because the Chachamim, when they said you have to do Bedikas Chametz in any place where there's Chametz, Chachamim meant where you're planning to go into during Pesach. Not Kabbalah. The Chachamim said to search those rooms that you're going to be using on Pesach, because you don't want to find chametz in the middle of Pesach. But those rooms that you're not using, and you know that there was never an obligation rabbinically even to search for the chametz in that room.
Otherwise, when you do bedikah, you would have to take it on.
Yeah, you're going to have to. Well, like, what is the? You're going to go search for chametz. The room's full of chametz. Like, what are you going to do? But there's many opinions hold that you have to do bedikah. We hold you don't have to. Like the
Tzemach Tzedek.
No, one second. We're not done. Because there's a din like this. Hey, what happens if a person is just selling his place? He's going away to a family member. He's going to stay there the whole Pesach. So, like, where should he do Bedikas Chametz? Or does he have to? Maybe he doesn't even have to do Bedikas Chametz. He's not going to be in his house. He's selling it. The relatives, that's their problem. He's not. It's not his house. They're going to do Bedikas Chametz. Shalocha says, no. If you leave within 30 days of Pesach, if you leave within 30 days of Pesach, there's an obligation upon you to do a Bedikas Chametz somewhere. You have to do what?
A room or something.
Something. You have to do a bedikas chametz. If you leave before 30 days, let's say 6 weeks before Pesach, you're locking up your house, you're going to a relative, or that's it, you don't have to do any bedikas chametz. Because once 30 days of Pesach comes, that the aura of the holiday begins, so to speak, and therefore you have an obligation to do a bedikah somewhere.
So what is this hotel thing that people go for Pesach things?
So 1 minute. So I'll give you an example. Okay, no, I'm right.